What books are you reading right now?
I'm actually really glad you asked that question. That's a great one. Okay, so I just got my soul ripped out because I just finished The Lies of Lena and The Sins of Silas.
Okay,
I read it
somebody else I
in like 4 days.
know just yeah, somebody else I know said that was soul
Are they at
destroying.
work? Was it at
No.
work? Oh,
No.
I was like, well, who are they? I need to talk to
Who
them.
are they? I need
Who
to
are
talk
they? Name
to
drop them right now.
them. I'll connect you guys maybe.
I need to know. Yeah, I read it, finished it. I'm healed. I need to heal. I tried to start a
Yeah.
new book today and I couldn't because all I could think about was that book.
But how many other books are you reading right now?
Not surprisingly, not a ton. I got
Okay.
like very into that. I'm still on Trial of a Sun Queen. I'm on the last book of that. There's four books. So I'm finishing that. And then I went back to like our Quicksilver stuff so I could deep dive into those new episodes that we were writing. So that's taking up a good chunk of my time. So everything else is kind of paused. I tried to start Direbound today, like this morning,
Okay.
and I got through a couple pages and I was like, but what about Lena? What about Silas? So I didn't think that
Since
book
it's a
would.
good book.
It was such a good book. It was so good.
You know what book comes out? Well, when this, let's see, when this podcast comes out, let's see here. By the time this podcast comes out, you know what book comes out in like days?
Which book comes out in days?
A Fate Forged in Fire.
Yes. We've been waiting.
Waiting.
I'm ready. We need to do an
I
episode
may,
on it.
yeah, for sure. I may or may not already have it.
She has it, guys. Don't let her fool you. She has it.
I have special editions coming that I've pre-ordered from
What?
overseas.
I can't wait.
They're
It's going to be such a good book.
beautiful.
I commented on Hazel McBride's thing today because she unboxed the
Oh
hardcovers
my
and they
God,
are
aren't they
so beautiful.
beautiful?
They're so
Which was it,
pretty.
the German ones, the UK ones, or the US ones?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. It's the ones that she just posted the video. It's like one of her more
Yeah.
recent posts and she just pulled it out. It was so shiny and beautiful and I really, really liked it.
So the German ones have like the edging on the sides,
Okay,
like
I don't think it
dragon
had the edging.
edging.
Maybe it did.
My friend's going to Germany this month, next month. She was like, "Do you want me to get you a copy?" And I was like, "Yes."
Yes,
Do I know
100%.
German? No.
Doesn't matter.
Do I still need to read it? Or have, I guess not read it. Do I still need to have it? Yes.
You could learn German via that way, right?
I
I
know.
want a copy of Quicksilver in every country.
Okay.
The
I
I
know
want the
two
Dutch
words
one.
in German.
Oh, you do? What words do you know?
Nine is no.
Oh,
I
yep.
think everyone knows that, right?
That's yeah, that's a good one though.
Okay, this one's more eclectic. Bauchnabben
Oh my gosh.
is belly button.
Wow.
I know belly
Yeah.
button in a lot of languages. It's
I mean,
my
we have to.
yeah, it's my fun fact.
It is a fun fact. It's a fun.
Portuguese, umbigo.
I did know that one. Because I always point at it on our animals. Umbigo.
Polish picnic, I think. Something like
Okay.
that.
Well, look at you go.
Yep.
Those are some good
So,
facts.
if I'm ever traveling and I want to point out a belly button, I
You know
can.
it. You can. That's a true talent not many people have. When they travel, they may not know where the belly button is.
That's true.
That's funny. I love it. Okay, let's dive on in. Here we go.
Chapter 20.
Chapter 20. Okay, so
Again.
we recorded chapter 20. We
We
sure
did.
did.
We
It
did.
was great, it was perfect, and then it all crashed. And we
This
tried
is
really
true.
hard to get it back and it just didn't happen. So we thought, okay, I'd rather re-record it than give you guys a episode that's like sloppy. So
The
we said, we're just
Quicksilver
gonna,
God said, "You need to re-record
you
this."
need to re-record. It's fine. We can do it.
Yeah.
So here we are, chapter 20. Let's go.
Let's go.
So we first hear the word Amontreath, which sits on a hill across from the war camp. It's noted that it's the enemy seat or a devil's teeth, and Sanus Roth is right behind this. The teeth are referenced because it's made of obsidian, slick as glass, built from the bones of demons. So this is not the first time we hear about obsidian. It is described a lot as the makeup of Sanistroth. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of a fun fact. I don't know if it's like an Easter egg or if it's just something to note, or if in book two we're going to hear a lot more about obsidian itself, or whether or not it has like magical traits or things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, especially because we spoke previously about how insignificant gold is.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I realize like different, but the fact that it is mentioned time and time again, it's like, okay, I feel like it's going to be relevant somewhere for something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I agree.
Maybe in book two.
I think it'll be in, if it is going to be, I think it would be in book two. Cause yeah, it is, it's mentioned a lot. It's mentioned for that side, like of mm-hmm. the area, like Sanistroth kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to know what it is about the obsidian that we got going on here.
Yeah.
So there is a meeting that is happening. They get to the war camp. There's a meeting. Fisher is asked to attend said meeting, and he refuses, and he wants Ren to go. He's like, hey, like, Ren's been running the show for a long time. Like, he's got it. Kingfisher trusts him, right, to do this. And we're actually talking to like a tree soldier named Holgoth. Mm-hmm. And Holgoth is calling him like Lord or Sire. And Kingfisher is like, it's just Kingfisher. Like, just call me Fisher. And he says no. He's like, I'm sorry, Sire, but no, can't do it. And I think we have a difference on opinions on this, but I was like, okay, bro, you haven't seen your commander in over 100 years. You respect him so much that you want him to go to this really important meeting, but yet he gives you one command, one thing he asks of you. Mm-hmm. Don't call me that. And you mm-hmm. cannot do it.
Yeah.
I was like, the audacity.
He's just trying to be nice.
I know. Like, I know.
He's respectful, not nice. He is trying to be respectful. It's like when people are like, yes, ma'am. And you're like, don't call me ma'am. And they're like, okay, ma'am. I get it. Maybe I would be Holgoth.
Maybe.
Maybe it would be me.
I would not be.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir.
Yep. Commander. Commander. I feel like that's probably not as bad.
I did like this, though, because I feel like it, it's another clue to you as the reader of like how important he is and how respected he is.
Right.
Because I think your first like notion of this would be like at the tavern. And then the second would be when you get back with Archer, and Archer's like mm-hmm. at his feet, essentially.
Right.
And this is kind of your like third notion of like, oh, like he is very important. He's very well respected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, exactly. I agree.
Yeah, that's why I feel like that was an important conversation.
And I also feel like this is probably not the first time that he has told this soldier not to call him that.
Oh,
it just felt like it. Mm-hmm. It felt like he said it for like the 100. He's like, dude, it's just Fisher. And he's like, can't do it. Sorry. I'd be so mad if I was like, they said my name. And I was like, no, it's just this. And they're like, okay. And then they said the full thing again. But
it's out of respect.
In some areas, Kingfisher is more patient than I. So there's that.
In some areas.
So they mentioned the Darn, which it's a river that starts small and then grows larger and faster. And there are areas where the Darn is over a league, possibly 3 to 4 miles, maybe, wide.
So a lake.
Yeah, like a – and again, the league
three to four miles is – that's which has a never wide been, river.
It is a wide river, but it's never been confirmed. It's just my guess from the internet that in the fantasy land, a league is 3 to 4 miles. But it's never fully been confirmed by Callie Hart what a league truly means to her as a writer and an author in her books.
Callie Hart, is a league 3 to 4 miles? Tell me in kilometers, I'll do the conversion.
Oh, yes, we can do conversions. Yes.
I can convert. I just need to know
what it truly is.
In a measurement that can be Googled.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With a definitive answer.
Can we just make a list of requests for you? What we'll is a leak?
One TikTok of all the times in our podcast that we say, Callie Hart, comma, followed by a question.
Followed by a question. Who is Bill? Who is Ada? What's a league? See?
There have
been I'll just more. Where's your whiteboard? That's another question. Can I see your book one whiteboard? Mm-hmm. So, okay, we'll make a TikTok. It'll have all the questions for you. You can just answer them nice and neatly right there. You can private message too if you'd like. You don't have to comment. It's fine. If it's a secret, I won't tell anybody. So in some areas, the temperature drops in the middle and the water, quote, becomes a band of solid silver, which I don't think it's actually silver, but I love that she worded it that way. It then freezes about 8 inches thick. People use it as a transport area as the only means between the mountain and the sea. So again, this is the only means of transportation in the dead of winter. Renfis mentions pilgrims, traders, and pirates use this for survival. Please, Callie Hart, let there be pirates in book two, Brimstone.
Everyone loves a good pirate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Especially with a title of Brimstone.
Yes.
And why else would pirates be mentioned?
That's what I thought.
You don't just casually drop pirates.
No. Mm-mm. You didn't casually drop vampires.
No.
Right?
Yeah. I would put money on pirates.
Pirates, dragons, vampires. So also in this chapter, Ceres mentions that Everlane tried to teach her about like the courts and the Fae. Girl literally did not pay attention because she was trying to escape. She was like, here's all the history of Fae. And she was like, I want to go home. Where's my brother?
Yes.
Ceres Fane. An educated woman is a powerful woman. Okay, thank you for the history.
But
now I'm going to do my thing.
Yes. But when she was trying to teach her, she did not plan on making a bajillion relics. Like that, she didn't know what her future would entail.
I mean, yeah.
Like she, at that time, she was like, just get me out of here. Where is Hayden?
Where is Hayden? He's doing good, Ceres. Don't worry.
You know, like when people are telling you information and you're like, yeah. But anyway.
True.
This is what I'm focused on.
True. Okay. That's fair. I accept that. I accept it.
Yeah. That's my opinion.
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to hate on it for a while. No, I'm going to let it simmer.
We can have different opinions.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have twice.
That's true. Can't agree on everything. Can't agree.
It makes a good podcast.
Can you imagine? We just agree on every single thing all the time.
If we disagreed on everything you mentioned, I was like, yeah, I agree.
Agreed. Approved. Approved. No, I don't know. It's my goal in all of our podcasts to drop at least one TikTok meme quote.
I think we're already at two, right?
Probably.
Maybe one. I think one was before we pressed record, I think.
Oh, missed opportunity.
It's okay. Sometimes
I say them and I don't know it.
Sometimes you say them and I don't know it.
They live rent-free in my head, Alyssa. Even when we're at work. I'm hanging out. I'm with all the things and I'm like, in my brain, I'm I'm just TikTok memes flowing in here. This is My Little Pony coming out in 5 weeks.
I see. I don't know that one.
I just posted it on our TikTok, so you should go watch it.
By the time this podcast comes out, I'll be well-versed.
Yes, she will know it.
The My Little Pony TikTok.
The My Little Pony movie coming out in 5 weeks.
Wait, nope. I saw this today.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Uh-huh.
See, now you know. Now you got to go watch ours. I literally just posted it before we logged on today.
Was it Hazel?
It probably was Hazel. So they finally get to this training session that they had talked about where Kingfisher is like, give her a fake sword and not a real one. So they get real swords, thankfully. Everyone gets a real sword. Everything's fine. Ren understands. And Carrion goes first. He's getting his ass kicked, right? He's on the ground multiple times. is he faking it? Or was he not raised with weapons before he got locked out? And Saris even mentioned, she says he knows how to use a sword, so maybe he's nervous. Do you think that he's like, is it an act still?
I don't think it's an act.
Do you think he's really nervous?
Why would he be worse as an act in front of Saris if she already knows how good he is? I think he's just not that good.
He can't be great at everything.
No. Like, he's charming. He's, you know.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He's good at conning people. You know, he can steal stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not good with a sword. It's not an act.
Okay.
I don't think
he's
nervous. I just think he's not that good.
But he, like, so seriously, like, well, he knows how to use one. So he knows maybe how to, like, hold a sword. But yeah. Against maybe someone like Ren, he's nothing there.
Yeah. I know how to swim, but if I get in a pool with Michael Phelps, I'm not going to beat him. That's you know? Fair. Like, that's my perspective. Yeah. I don't think it's nerves. I don't think it's an act. I think he's just not that good. Think about, like, as you get further in the book, his strength doesn't lie in him being strong or being a fighter. Like, his strength is literally his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, words are his weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Do you think he was nervous? Like, why would he be nervous?
I don't know. Part of me thinks that he's very confident, right? But then to do something that maybe he isn't that proficient in, right? Like sword fighting. Mm-hmm. Was he worried that he was going to look stupid? He played it off well, but inside, what was he feeling? What was he thinking? Was he like, looked stupid in front of Ren. Awesome. Or looked stupid in front of Saris. Awesome.
I don't think he would care if he looked stupid in front of Ren.
You don't think so?
Why would he want Ren to think? Why would he care what Ren thinks?
I don't know. I need to know the internal monologue of Carrie and Swift to better understand.
Yeah. I don't think he's someone who cares very much what people think of him. Mm-hmm. Unless it is for an objective. If he's trying to charm someone to get something or get his way or get someone in bed with him, mm-hmm. I think he cares what people think.
Yeah.
But if he's otherwise, he comes off as like a very like suave, put together person anyway, and I think he knows that. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I don't feel like he probably cares.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I can see that. Yeah.
Or maybe I want to know more about him. He's like the general dude, you know? Like,
maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe inside he secretly cares about what everyone thinks.
Maybe.
Maybe it's all a facade. Book two, let me know. So then Saris, it's finally her turn. Karen's like, I need a break. Like, it's your turn. And then she notes that the Fae swords are different. They're longer and sharper, and they don't have a cross guard. I don't know about literally anybody else. I did not know what a cross guard was. I had no idea. It's not important. I just needed to know. So a cross guard is a bar that separates the blade from the hilt.
Yeah.
And it protects the wielder's hand from their own sword and the opponent's sword. Mm-hmm. So, and that's like in real life. Like, I looked it up and that's what it was. So it's like across the board, right?
Yeah.
How many hands got hurt before they did this invention of an extra little piece of metal to protect it?
Did you look that up?
No, I
when
didn't.
When the cross guard, I bet you Austin would know.
We can ask him. Somebody ask Austin. Hello, bring in Austin, please. Bring in the husband.
Austin,
we have a question.
Here, wait, hold on. Let's find out.
Are you going to text him?
Yeah, continue on though. And
okay,
I'll,
all right, you text.
We'll circle back to this.
Put a pin in it. We need to know when this happened. How many? Is there a record? How many hands were injured before this hilt was invented? But I thought, or the cross guard was invented. I just thought it was really interesting. I was like, what's a cross guard? What does that mean?
I think it's interesting. Well, not interesting. I'm not surprised that the Fae swords don't have them because they you would assume they are naturally more adept at handling them.
Yes. Hello? Right. They more training, things like that.
Hold on. Here's Austin.
Oh my gosh.
You know cross guards on swords?
Yes. Yes. Very confident.
Do you know when cross guards became used on swords? Who invented them?
From what I know, they've been around since like ancient Greece. When they had the longer swords.
When they have what? Longer swords?
When they were like, when we got better, like as a humans got better at working metals. But I don't think they became super popular until more medieval times.
There you go.
Wow.
You got a round of applause.
Thank you.
Oh, I'll look at it later. Okay. Thanks.
We have to put him in the show notes now.
Okay.
He deserves credit for his.
That's like his specialty, like random knowledge like that.
We should do a trivia night. We'd win.
We used to do that.
I love trivia.
We used to host virtual trivia nights once a week during COVID.
We should it was called, make.
It was called Quarren Trivia.
Oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. That's clever.
Yeah, we did it once a week.
I love that.
That's really fun.
That sounds really fun. We should make a bookish one.
We could do that.
All of like ACOTAR, all the things. Quicksilver. We could do that. I'm here for it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Note made. Okay, so Saris finally has her turn. She's sparring with Renfis. She gets knocked on her ass first, but eventually she makes Ren have to work just a smidge mm-hmm. for this win, right? He takes a small step backwards. She's got this. And then all of a sudden, Kingfisher shows up and voice casts to her to make her lose focus. She used to secretly make weapons in Elroy's forge, and she used them, so she had a slight chance of at least keeping Ren on his toes for a minute or two.
Yeah.
What an asshole. He saw that she was actually making a small bit of progress and was like, bet, I'm going to trip her. He's like one of those boys who like puts gum in the girl's hair at school because he likes
it. I loved this.
Is this a bully romance? Is this what this is?
No, I loved this. It was very like, he shows up. He's like, damn. She's pretty good.
And gotta mess her up.
Yeah, like, haha, watch what I can do. Because he knows rude. It's going to throw her off.
Oh, it did, for sure. It would throw me off, too.
I also love that she did have Ren on his toes for a mm-hmm. minute. I'm not a fan of the FMC being like, I don't want it, less than at mm-hmm. everything. Like, yes, she's thrown into this new world, mm-hmm. like, right? But like, I hate when they're like less than at everything,
right? Which is fair. And Saris is probably one of my favorite FMCs. I give her a lot of shit. Yes, I do truly love her as an FMC. I love how she was written. I love all the things that she does. Like, I truly, however, if I was an FMC in another life, one day when a portal opens up in my backyard and I get to jump in, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be that FMC that literally knows nothing. And
I just, you guys, yeah, should get like more. I just like, think about, like, Farrah.
Mm-hmm.
She
used a bow.
Like, yes, that's true. But was she better at using a bow than Lucien?
Yeah. Know, like, that's fair. Yeah.
Just let them have one thing.
Give them a thing.
Yeah. And obviously, she's not better than Ren. But to be, like, she kept him on his toes for a minute. I love that.
Mm-hmm. You know, to give Feyre credit for one thing, she would, and obviously there's a lot of things that go back to this. No, I'm not painting. She was able to catch the cereal and no one else could. And I know cereal gave her he gave her a little bit, right? But he didn't give anybody a little bit. So yeah. I think she deserves a little bit of credit for that.
Okay.
Just a smidge, not a lot. Just a teeny weeny bit.
Okay.
Guys, that's Alyssa's agree to disagree face right there. Okay.
I mean, she was, yeah.
She's not my favorite. And we know that. We know I'm Nesta over everybody. So I don't disagree with you.
She's also not my least favorite. Like, don't get me wrong. That was just a...
It's a good example.
It was an example.
Yeah, it's a good example. No, I agree. And that's why I like Saris a lot.
Yeah.
Because she is good at... She's good at a lot of things.
She's good at a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And for Fisher to, in this book, be like, you're an alchemist. Like... I need you,
mm-hmm.
not like, oh, you're along for the ride because you have to be.
Yeah. Or like, I can fix her. Mm-hmm. Look at this broken girl. Yep. Let me take care of you forever.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I like that. Yeah. I like that she wrote it that way.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
So they eventually make it inside Kingfisher's war tent, which is ensued with magic. Right. So it's like tiny on the outside. It's dirty on the outside. And then you go on the inside. Right. And it's huge. There's chairs and a bed and a table for four. And there's a rug. And they make the rug a really big deal. And I was like, but it has a bed. Like, that's, I feel like the bed is a bigger deal than a rug. They got a rug in there and she was real stoked.
I'm just imagining a rug on like a dirt floor. If you say war tent, I think tent. Like camping. Like, no floor. Unless you put, like a tarp down.
Like a sheep herder's tent, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, magic tent. I think it has magic floors. I think it has probably, like, wood floors or some sort of marble or something.
Probably. But when I was listening to it, that is not what I imagined.
Better keep your boots on, then.
Yeah, that rug's going to get dirty. I hate it.
That rug's going to be really dirty. Someone give them some Tide to wash the rug, please.
Who's sweeping out the dirt in that tent?
Oh my gosh.
Where's Archer?
Kingfisher's shadows. I'm gonna sweep it up. Just a little whoosh. Better. Keep that rug clean. Man, that's why she was so excited about it. They should have put floors. That's the one thing. You forgot that probably, one detail.
You're probably right. There probably are floors. I just, when I read it, I was like, mm-hmm. tent. With a rug. Weird.
Tables, all the things.
Well.
That's so funny.
She probably didn't have rugs back home.
I mean, maybe. Did someone tell her in the castle what a rug was then? When she learned what, like, the moon was and also the dark and everything else that she learned? Where they were like, these are rugs.
Maybe she was paying attention. Them. That was part of her lesson.
Maybe. Good job, Saris. Information makes you powerful.
Here's what you need to know about Fae. And also, there are these things called rugs. And our swords don't have cross guards.
She's like, why is this weird piece of fabric on the ground? You guys drop this. They're like, no, it's a rug.
What is this blanket?
Yeah, you left it. She's like trying to pick it up and put it on her. I'm a little cold. Someone give Feyre a real blanket, please. So this is one of the moments where they talk about, like, in his tent, there's books everywhere,
mm-hmm.
including on the rug. There's books there because mm-hmm. Kingfisher is researching, but he won't say what about. And I cannot for the life of me remember what he is researching. I don't even remember if it even tells us this. So if you know, if you listen to this book and you're like, oh, this is what he was researching, I remember, please let us know in the comments. Let me know so I know so I can go back and look at it. Because
yeah.
I cannot remember if it ever even answered it. My guess, again, not remembering, is the mating bond. Because I know that he has a feeling of what's going on. But mm-hmm. that's about all I can remember. So if anyone knows, or if Alyssa, if you know.
I don't remember, but... Yeah. The mating mm-hmm. bond makes sense now having finished the book.
Right.
And thinking or... about conversations towards the end.
Or breaking the bond that he has with Malcolm, right? Because we're at the end of the, like, if you go all the way to the end of the book, like, if you're listening to this, you should know now at the end of the book and you finish the book,
mm-hmm.
maybe he's researching that, like, how to get out of that, right? Because he was able to escape, but that was yeah. about it. Like, that bargain is still there. That coin right. is still not landed.
Yeah.
Maybe. So maybe it was about that and he can't talk about that, right?
That's a good guess.
So they eat dinner together and they're like bantering about why Kingfisher is insistent on controlling Saris. There's during this time, she mentions feeling something in her breastbone, something that made her come alive. I am very sure that this is one of the first time that she feels the fact that they are mates, like the mating bond, because the mm-hmm. feeling is not in her belly, right? It's not like she's just feeling it, mm-hmm. but it's way higher up where one might feel a mate bond, not in like the ribs and things, like up and like near the heart area. And I believe that is, Fisher felt it at the same time.
That is where the first tattoo shows up too, right?
Her first tattoo?
Her first tattoo.
Yes. Later on in a couple chapters forward, when they finally do the thing, yeah. His tattoos are swirling and they go on to her. And yeah, so a bird ends up on her chest, which is like the first sign of a mating bond itself.
Right.
So I think this is one of the first moments that we see it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Kingfisher is like in denial almost this whole time, I think this moment was very strong. And I think it's where it kind of locked in a little bit, because this is where he grabs her and kisses her for the first time.
Yeah.
So I think he was like, I feel it. I'm going to go into it. Right. So things are getting hot and heavy. Saris tells Fisher she needs him and everything stops. Fisher backs up across the room and is freaking out. He then goes there and puts her hand on his chest so you can feel his heart beating. And then he says, I can't trust anything. I was so angry at this moment. Saris is like, I don't understand what I don't understand what I did. Girl said a normal thing in a normal heated moment. And he's like, nope, can't do it. She's like, I need you. And he's like, nope, can't. And then he just leaves her alone in the tent. He just bails. He bails. Yeah. He leaves.
Yeah.
That poor girl.
He's having big feelings. He's not used to having big feelings.
Oh, I know. I just feel so bad for her in this moment. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Literally, what could be a worse feeling than that?
Cringe.
Like, that's cringe. Like, that's like you being like, I love you. And someone being like, thanks.
Yeah, cool. Bye. And then they just walk away.
Yeah.
Ugh. No, that poor girl.
Not the best moment for her.
Mm-hmm. I do also want to know, and I don't know if anyone else noticed this either. This is one of the moments where the Quicksilver in his eye was completely still.
Mm-hmm.
She does talk about like the Quicksilver was swirling or it was bouncing around or it was doing whatever it's doing. It was completely still in this moment. And go ahead.
I feel like the Quicksilver was probably like, oh, like, mm-hmm. oh, dang. Like, we haven't been a part of him and felt him feel this way. Or angry. Yeah. Like you said, like, if the Quicksilver is so selfish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe it's pissed.
Like, yeah. Was it like
outing?
Yeah. I'm not sharing him.
Right. And then maybe it was telling him, you can't trust this. You can't trust that. This isn't real. This isn't real. Yeah. Which maybe is why he was like, oh, I can't trust this. I got to go.
Right.
It's possible. That would make sense. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Poor Fish.
Yeah.
So she is alone. She bolts. She's gone. She's running through the camp and she runs into Ren, who smelled her immediately and is like, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, he didn't do anything. And I found it interesting that Faye can smell the difference between consensual and non-consensual interactions. He could mm-hmm. smell both of them on her. He was like, no, I can smell you both. Like, I know what happened versus I can only smell one or something like that. I just thought that was an interesting way to go about it. And he also tells her like, hey, like go stand by the fire because it will burn off that scent
mm-hmm.
and you'll be like back to normal. She's like, okay, cool. So they eventually get to the war tent and she finds Carrie and they sit together and they share a piece of quiche, not cake. They're calling it cake, but it's really quiche. They know that. Mm-hmm. They go back and forth for a while. There's like taking in the scene, which is a bunch of just Fae warriors, right? And everyone's around and they're kind of arguing with this woman. And we finally meet Danya and Lorith. You're shaking your head.
Danya.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10. How much did you dislike Danya?
Probably a 7.
Oh, okay. Cass is like an 11. Cass hated Danya. Yeah,
I was
going to
say like maybe an 8.
I'm going to say a 5.
Yeah, that tracks for you. Daniel kind of has like Nesta vibes.
And in a a couple of chapters later, I have receipts of why I think that Daniel deserves some grace. I know.
Okay. I can't wait. Snake face.
Snake face. She narrowed her eyes to slits. You may like it, you may not like it. I don't know. But
she's good for the book, right? Yes. But like, she's not
I'm not going to say she's not mean girl.
No, she's not my bestie. I don't want to go hang out with her.
Mm-hmm. I probably would. Yeah. I mean, hear her talk all this shit. That's just who I am. I don't know. I am sort of like attracted to hanging out with those personalities. It's funny.
Okay, here's a question.
Yes.
You can go to lunch and bring three female characters. Doesn't have to be a main character. From books with you. Like girl brunch.
Oh, girl brunch. Oh my God. Okay.
Who are you bringing?
I'm bringing Nesta, of course.
Obviously.
Because I want to talk about books with her, right? Mm-hmm. And also like how to become a Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. And also Cassian. So that's like number one. She's getting my first invite. And she better show up. Or you're mm-hmm. really upset. I may or may not invite Danya. Because I think Danya and Nesta would get along.
Yeah.
In a good way. I don't think that their personalities would clash in a bad way.
Okay.
Who would be my third person? Ooh, you know who I would bring?
I might not.
You haven't read Crescent City, so you might not get this reference, but I would bring Bryce Quinlan from before, I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm going to spoil it a little bit, before they meet.
Okay.
We all know that it crosses over in that book. Like, that's not – it's on the internet. It's not a secret. Right. I would bring Bryce before they meet in the books. And that would be, like, my girl squad. Because I think that Bryce would take us to a really cool lunch place. Like, I would let her choose it. Like, Bryce, where are we going? And then I would bring Daniel because I want to hear her talk shit about all the guys. And then I want to bring Nesta because I want to talk about books.
Sounds fun.
This was not a pre-rehearsed question, guys. No, I want you to know that.
This is very on the spot.
I'm proud of myself for having an answer.
Yeah, good for you. I don't have one.
I was like, who would I bring?
I don't have one.
I think about these things sometimes. Who would I go to? I didn't think about like brunch, but like I thought about maybe like.
No, I need.
I can think about like hanging out with them.
I need like the least dramatic group. I would bring all the boys.
Oh, see, I would also go to that. I would do that.
You're at your girl lunch.
I know. I'm
bringing like Reese, Fisher, and Cassian, and Asriel.
Oh my gosh, what a good brunch. You would go to like a sports bar though.
Yeah, that sounds great.
There'd be wings and beer.
Well, wings and a Diet Coke for me.
Yes, Cassian would drink He would eat wings and drink beer.
Yeah.
What a good time.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm here for it. One day a portal is going to open up and I'm going to jump right on in. Goodbye.
Bye.
See you later. If I ever disappear. No, I probably went there. So during this time, Carrie notices Ceres's neck is bleeding and she's like, oh no, it's just a scratch. It's bleeding pretty good though. Mm-hmm. And then Kingfisher walks in the room and he notices they're sharing food as soon as he walks in. And he, like, makes a face, right? He looks pretty upset. So Danya and Kingfisher finally see each other, and she is pissed. He's been gone for a long time, and she feels abandoned. She's mm-hmm. so, and she also notes that Kingfisher is sopping wet, like, soaking wet. I think maybe he took a swim to cool the fuck off.
Yeah, but did he take a swim? Did he take a shower?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Did he roll around in the snot, like,
I'm assuming his clothes were wet. Otherwise, I don't think she would notice if just his hair was wet, right? So I think like all of his clothes, his boots, all the things. So maybe he just took a shower. Maybe he just went to the first like piece of water he could find.
Your, what was his name? The soldier.
Oh, Holgoth.
You're Holgoth. You're standing there at your post. Kingfisher goes running by, dives into the water.
The ice river.
And then just speed walks right back past you. And you're like, Commander.
Lord.
Sir.
Sire.
Sir.
You feel like, you okay, sire? And he probably like stomps. He's like, it's Fisher. And then like stomps away.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, sire. See you later.
Bye.
And bye. Oh my gosh. That's, yes. Can we also have that in the Netflix?
I like it. That's an addition. I'll accept.
Yeah, it's not in the book, but I approve it. Approved.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Also, one of the funniest things, one of the funniest lines that I think that people sleep on is that Danya calls him Fish. She's the only one to do it. And I think that that also speaks to the importance of Danya and where she lands in these, like, these ties with this group. She calls him Fish.
She does. I think it's cute.
It's very cute.
Side note. My best friend's dog is named Fisher.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
And he's always like, Fish, Fisher. And now that I've read the book, I'm like,
that's adorable. Can we get a picture of the? Can we get a picture of this dog?
Yeah, I can put it in there.
Put it on there. I want everyone to see Fish.
Put him in there. Yeah.
Yes.
He's very cute.
Insert picture of dog named Fish here.
Yeah.
Kingfisher. Put a little crown on him. Kingfisher.
And a sword.
Yeah, a little sword.
With no cross guard.
Little Nimerel. No cross guard, otherwise it won't be legit.
That's right.
There's got to be photos of it somewhere.
Probably.
So funny, though. Fish. In the beginning, though, I also had, like, bad breakup vibes during this scene. They did not date. They didn't have any relations. Danya is part of the Lupoproelia. Mm-hmm. They're not a little bit later. Danny notes that Kingfisher was back and forth between the camp and the palace for weeks without saying anything to anybody. And she also notes that they were supposed to be a family and stick together when he left them high and dry. We know, obviously, that Fisher didn't have a choice to leave. Like, that makes sense. Before knowing that, though, and especially because he couldn't tell them what happened, I can see why she would be really upset, especially the fact that he came back multiple times and didn't talk to them or tell them, like, hey, I'm safe, right? Like, this is the leader of the Lupoprelia, like their wolf pack, who has been missing for a really long time. So I can understand why she's so pissed.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
And he can't even tell her, like, I'm under oath, I can't tell you, like, I'm under a bargain, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
So she loses her patience completely. She draws her sword. She's charging right at Kingfisher, screaming that he is a traitor. She's running. Cerys yells, stop. And Danya runs into the corner of a table, which, ouch. I'm sure it's a big bruise. Her sword shatters into a million pieces and slams into the stone wall. And just as Danya realizes they have an alchemist, a loud boom happens. And there's a call for icebreakers outside. And then that's when we learn the dead are attempting to cross the frozen river. Very dramatic ending to this scene. I feel like a lot of her chapters, like, are, like, slow, and then they build up, and then they, like, crash, and then it's like, next chapter.
It's not like one thing is happening here.
Oh, multiple things are happening.
Right. Like, her sword's in a million pieces. She realizes there's an alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
And the icebreakers.
Yep. Cerys is yelling. She hits a table. Many things are happening at once.
That doesn't even really touch on, like, Fisher, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, anybody else that's there, Carrion, you know.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think this is a very important scene mm-hmm. in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. One way to number one ticket to the Danya show. Woohoo. So that kind of wraps up chapter 20 with a nice, beautiful bow, perfectly recorded. Knock on wood, knock, knock.
Ta-da.
All good. Ta-da. All done. So we were going to kind of dive into chapter 21, Icebreaker. So again, we end chapter 20, like, they yell, call for icebreakers. We don't know what those are at the moment, but as soon as you go into chapter 21, it's still in that same scene. So the icebreakers are in full force on the riverbank, where they're like people taking the sledgehammer and like slamming it into the ice. So Carrion and Cirrus are jumping in to help as they realize the horde of feeders across the Darn, right? So we look across the river. It freezes, so they have to take, like, again, big sledgehammers. They have to break the ice, so that way the feeders cannot get across. So they're hitting and hitting and hitting. They're trying, and then all of a sudden, black shadows roll across the river and take the feeders down to the bottom under the water. And they're like, what is that? Instantly, Cirrus is like, that's Fisher. That's King Fisher. I am so sure that this was a relief to all of the soldiers there, because they haven't had Kingfisher's shadows in over 100 years. They have just been swinging these hammers for who knows how long, every single time, just wearing themselves out to death. And Kingfisher comes in and is like, whoosh, and they're gone under the water.
When I first listened to this chapter, I was like, it's kind of almost anticlimactic in how short, like, this, like, quote unquote battle was, but then reflecting back on it, like you said, I think it draws attention to the power that Fisher has. Like, if he wasn't there, this would have been a very long battle and a very hard fought battle. And not that it wasn't, but I think it just draws attention to the fact that it's not anticlimactic, but it is considerably shorter than it would have been.
Yeah. She did note in the book that she was hitting the hammer long enough that she got blisters on her hands. So I wonder if it, in the book itself, went for longer than it was described or portrayed. Or maybe they were just really shitty wood that they were using and it blistered like immediately.
No. I do feel like it wasn't like 5 minutes, right? Like, it probably was an hour more. Maybe.
Yeah, I would think so.
But again, just so much less than it probably had been for 100 years.
Right. I'm sure they were like, whew, what a relief.
Yeah.
Glad you're back, buddy.
Yeah.
Because he just like swooshes in and takes care of it. So this is the first time also that Malcolm comes forward. So we've heard Malcolm's name like one time before in the previous chapters when you were like, is Malcolm going to be important?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, he sure is.
Yeah.
So Malcolm steps out and calls for Kingfisher. He tells him it's been a few weeks since they saw each other and he misses him. Fisher does not respond. What are your first thoughts about Malcolm? What did you think?
I thought it was like a perfectly written villainous character. I like villains that are kind of like, I don't want to say charming, but like they do use terms like darling or like, oh, like I've missed you or whatever it is. I think those are well-written villains. Personally.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I got the super ick.
No, I love it. I don't love Malcolm. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But I think he's a well-written villain.
Interesting. I don't think he's a bad written, like, character.
Yeah.
Like, I can appreciate his character. But when he was like, I miss you, I was like, don't talk to him. Why are you saying that to him? What does this mean? What is this? Even at the end of the book, it's like he's like flirty with him.
Yes.
And I was like,
I like that. I think that's a good villain.
He had him for over 100 years. I was like, no, Kingfisher doesn't want to be with you. I got crush vibes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got the super ick. I was like, no. Ew. Every time he spoke in the book, I was like, can you stop talking? Just, ew, David. Did you know that in that, have you ever seen that? You saw Schitt's Creek? She only says, ew, David, 2 times in the entire show.
Really?
2 times. Ew, David. But she adds David on to everything else that she can. She's like, oh my gosh, David. Oh, David. But she only says, ew, David, 2 times. Fun fact for you.
Interesting.
Isn't that funny?
Learn something new every day.
Answer one text, David. I just want to rewatch that show. It's such a good one. And so that wraps up chapter 21. It's a pretty short chapter, but I think it was good. It was a short chapter because it introduced the villain like up front for the first time. And I thought that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
So then you jump immediately into chapter 22, The Itch. So in the beginning of chapter 22, Kingfisher demands that Ceres take his hand and they go through the Shadow Gate. He seems really stressed when he was talking to her and like he demands her to go. He's like, we're going like right now. My first thought was that he was worried for her safety or that he was upset because she didn't stay in the war tent like he had wanted her to. And she went out and helped. But obviously it was because Malcolm was there. Super creep.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the palace in Kingfisher's room, things are getting really, really tense. Like the air is thick. Kingfisher tells Ceres to never share food with Carrion. Out of all the things that just happened, he's like, don't share food with that prick. Okay, we're not going to talk about the icebreakers or the super creep vampire across the way. No, cannot share a quiche with a person. But jealous, to him, jealous fish.
Yeah, to him, the quiche is bigger than that, mm-hmm. than the icebreakers.
Right.
I love this. Like, I think it draws attention to like how much that affected him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does supersede the icebreakers, Malcolm,
yeah.
All of that.
He's like, don't share food with Carrion.
Don't. Yeah. She's like, okay, but like, can we circle back to the other thing that just happened?
He's like, bro, were you even there? Hello? So it's interesting. She's allowed to share food with others, just not Carrion. And I find it interesting that he is so jealous of Carrion.
Because and I know Carrion that they had her sass.
Right. But he doesn't strike me as like a self-conscious fae. Really, he's a very confident fae. And Ceres has told him like that it was a one-time thing. Like it doesn't matter. And you weren't supposed to bring him anyways. You were supposed to bring Hayden, right? Like
I think that's part of it too. Like he's the reason Carrion's even there. So I think it's like it probably frustrates him that much more because he knows that Carrion wouldn't even be there
mm-hmm.
if he hadn't brought the wrong person.
Right. I didn't think about it like that. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Poor fish.
He's just a jealous little fish.
He sure is. And that's okay. We've all been there. But
yep.
Yeah. That's so interesting. So we, as they're in that, like they go back obviously to the castle, we learn Malcolm, a little bit more about Malcolm himself. So we learn that he's a high fae vampire. All of the fae were cursed a long time ago, but they eventually found a cure. Malcolm was one of the few who chose not to take the cure, but instead stayed a vampire and kept the dark magic that came with it, which means he is now like the king. Mm-hmm. They are not immortal. Which is also interesting because in a lot of other like books that I have read, like Fae is immortal. He says we live a really long time, but not forever. But the vampire curse itself does grant true immortality. In If Malcolm's princes bite someone, they turn into a feeder, right? Which is what you're seeing, the horde across the way, right? They don't have any mind, no soul, nothing. But if Malcolm bites someone, they stay who they are, but they are in vampire form. So they keep their soul, their personality, all of this stuff. They're just now a vampire. So like I'm assuming this is how the princes are created essentially, like right. He bites them and then jumping to the very very end of this book, now that we know what happens, what do we think Ceres's abilities will be now that she is like technically the vampire queen?
This is one of the things I'm most excited for in book two, because so much is left unanswered as far mm-hmm. as like the vampires go, which you would expect. Like, we don't need to know all the details in mm-hmm. this book because it's not really affecting any of our main characters. But now I want to know what her abilities are. I want to know more about the Fae's lifespan, right? Like, I want to know all of it. And I just don't think it was really relevant in book one, but now we have so many questions going into book two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think her abilities will be?
I want to know if the other, if she can like cure those princes. Like, I don't think she's going to lean in and be like, I want this horde for myself. These are now my, this is now my army. Or maybe she doesn't have a choice, right? Maybe now she's connected to that army, whether she likes it or not. And I think she might have to, if she does have to keep the army and she cannot cure them, I think she's going to end up having to use them in a battle. Maybe for the dragons. Maybe for the pirates. I don't know.
Maybe she can do something with the obsidian.
That's also very possible. Like maybe it,
like
it
as an alchemist. Ties in.
Yeah. That would be very cool. We'll never, we'll know. I was like, we'll never know, but we'll never know in November. We'll never know. No, we will know in November when the book comes out for sure.
6 months.
During this conversation, we learn that Kingfisher, where he's been this whole time, right? When he was missing. So he was with Malcolm because she's like, hey, like, were you with him? And he gets like this look on his face and she knows that look, right? He's like, I can't tell you that. And we learn that he's like bound and literally cannot tell her. And she calls him out, but he snaps back at her. She's like, I know what, like, I know. And he's like, you have no idea what you're talking about. So he gets super defensive and he's in, he like denies it, all the things. Again, the tension in the room is getting thicker by the second with their banter. Mm-hmm. And then she proclaims that there is something between them and she stands her ground. And there is a moment Kingfisher could have told her about the mating bond because we know he felt it. Just tell her. It's not that hard. Just tell her. And I know that in these books, which is like the one thing that irritates me, is we are like, I have this mating bond I've known forever and I didn't want to tell you. And then you have to find out some other random way. And then they get mad. They're like, why didn't you just tell me? Right. And I know there was one Fae one time that told his mate immediately and she ran for her life. RIP Lucien and Elaine. But come on, man. It's not that hard. Just be like, we're fated mates. I can feel it. This is how it works.
If he had told her here, what would have happened?
I don't know.
She maybe she like, would have ran. Send me the F home.
No, but she's literally telling him that she feels something. She's like, I know there's something between us. She's putting it right on the table. He had the opportunity to be like, yes, you're correct.
We right? actually have. Yes, but like. When my husband and I started dating, right?
Yes.
I was like, I like you. What if he was like, we're soulmates?
Can't. Oh, my
gosh. Me and my husband, 24, on our like, you know, little first dates at, like, Olive Garden on Halloween Horror Nights. We're walking out of Halloween Horror Nights holding hands for the first time. And I'm like, I really like you. And he stops and goes, we're soulmates. I probably would have Ubered home.
Just ran for your life.
I'd be like, that's nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Bye.
Have a great day.
We should do this again sometime.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I mean, when you put it that way, but no, you're right.
And there would be no book, right? Like, the book would be done.
That's true. I hate that you're right.
You have to have that, like, you have to be sitting there as the reader at some point and being like, just say it. Like, just say it. And then they don't.
And that's where I was at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just tell her. So Ceres tells Kingfisher that she wants him to bite her because he almost did the last time. And then they like had a moment, right? Dude grabs her by the throat. Yes.
When they explain like the biting thing. I was like, I'm sorry. What?
But like, did you mean like, what? Or like, what? Like, which, can you give me a facial expression?
Both.
Both. She's into it, which is not into it.
It was not what I was expecting.
Gotta use those canines. That's funny.
They gotta be there for something, I guess.
Yeah. Grabs her by the throat. And I was like, into the book. Here I go.
I'm now in the book.
Goodbye. Gotta go. And then for a moment, did we think that there would be actual violence or was it, do we know that it was just sexual? Now looking back on it, I know.
I never thought it was violence.
He's just not that way, right? No. Like, that's just not who he is.
Yeah, no.
But for a split second, I wonder, and if anyone was reading this and you, I want to know the people's thoughts. I want to know our 12 listeners what they thought when they listened to this. Did you think that it was serious, or did you immediately think that it was not like that going to be that big of a deal?
I just, thinking back to listening to it, don't feel like you're never given the idea that he's actually going to hurt her. And at this point, too, you know that he cares because the food thing was already discussed.
Yes, correct. He does care about her a lot.
Right. So you already know at this point, you're like, oh, he cares. He's jealous.
Yes, so correct.
Had this happened, you know, when they first met, maybe. Maybe you would be like, oh,
yeah, okay.
He might hurt her. But I think this far into the book, I didn't think so.
Mm-hmm. It was like that good throw you against the wall kind of moment.
Yeah.
Not the bad one.
Yeah.
We do learn a few chapters down the line, more information about, like, from Lorth about the biting and things like that. It's very taboo. It's for people keep that, like, Faye keep that to themselves. It's a very sexual thing. It can be addicting as well. Like, if you bite someone, you have to have a ton of self-control to not let it go too far. And it creates euphoria for both of them. So if you forgot what the biting is about, that's what it's about. And then we will discuss it later on too in a couple chapters ahead. So things get hot AF. Like, it's steamy in there, right? Kingfisher is about to taste Ceres for the first time, right? Like, they're doing all their things. And she's like, I could probably use a shower. And he says, don't you dare finish that sentence. I don't want to taste soap. I want to taste you. And this is the moment that I remembered again that this book was written by a woman, not written by a man.
Yeah.
A man would have been like, yeah, for sure, go shower. No. Yeah. I want to taste you. I don't want to taste soap. I don't want to taste products. Thank you, Callie Hart. Amen. And when I was reading this, I was like, yes.
That's so funny.
I don't know if anyone else felt that line in their soul, but I did.
I didn't immediately, but I love how passionate you are about it.
She was like, don't finish that sentence. Got it. So she's watching him, right? His tattoos are coming to life. They start moving. They're like swirling. The wolf on his chest is moving and swirling. And it flowed down him, past his fingertips, onto her fingertips. And it went onto her body. We know that it made the shape of a bird. And it went to her right forearm and then moved along. She pulls her hand away to stop more ink from flowing onto her, but Kingfisher shakes his head and puts her hand back. And we do know that the bird eventually landed on her chest and is now permanently there.
I can't remember if this is in the book or not. Does he know, though, at this point that it's going to be permanently there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, later on.
I remember the conversation where he's like, oh, I can, like, magically get rid of it for now, and then you can decide. Like, hide it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can glamour it, essentially.
Right. But I couldn't remember if he knew it was, like, going to be permanent.
He for sure knows what it means. And there's, like, different ones that mean different things.
Right.
But yes, he does know. We learn it later. Like, he kind of explains it later on in the book. And it also, this is kind of interesting. So his pupils were so wide that you could not see the green or the silver. This is the first time that we know we cannot see the quicksilver at all. Like, we don't know if it's moving. We don't know if it's still. We don't know what it's doing because you can't see it.
I feel like this is just saying, like, this is just Fisher in this moment. This is not the quicksilver. That's a nice way to think of that. You know,
that's, like, a really nice way to think of it.
Because up until this point, it's like any conversation that they have where she references the silver in his eye, I'm like, okay, well, it's like Kingfisher and the Quicksilver because they are one, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
This is like, no, this is just him.
That's an interesting way to think of it. That's nice. I like it. Mind. No, I agree. In all his mind. In my mind. That's so funny. Is that my line? Is that my thing? Waiting for my catchphrase to show up.
Is that your catchphrase? Is that my catchphrase?
I don't know. Is it mine?
Do I say that a lot?
I feel like I say it a lot. In my mind.
Oh.
Maybe. I want a catchphrase. I'm ready to have one.
Okay.
All the podcasters have one. It's a cool thing. I'll have it. It has to come naturally, though.
Yeah. Someone will let us know.
If anyone sees it, tell me.
I don't want to know what mine is.
I want to know so I can put on a sweater for you.
I don't want to know. Then I'll think about it. I don't want to know. Nobody
It'll
tell
be
me.
Your thing. Nobody tell Alyssa. Me. You guys can tell me, though. You can tell me Alyssa's, too. I won't tell her. I'll wear on a sweater. I'll put all of ours on a sweater, and she'll have to guess which one is hers.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right, guys, Alyssa's catchphrase will not be on the merch. Sorry.
That's right.
That's right. I can't. That's so funny. I didn't think that you would not be interested in that.
I don't want to know. No.
Mm-mm. Don't tell her. Thanks. You guys can tell me. No shame. So, so things are finally like wrapping up in that department. Kingfisher instructs Saris to he instructs her to stay in the palace for the night because the camp will be in chaos. And she's like, okay. She thinks that he tried to use the bargain, right? And she thinks like, oh my gosh, I can't leave this room again. So she panics. She tries to leave the room and she finds that she's able to. She opens the door. She steps out. And she runs into Archer, who knows that they just fucked. Hee-hee. Little Archer. And the best little fire sprite on the planet is like, hey, I know you just went through some exercise. Here are some snacks. And some drinks because I know you're thirsty. And like, what a fucking good little guy. So thoughtful.
I would be so mortified.
I'd be so grateful. Thank you. You're right.
So mortified.
She was.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh yeah, we were actually just moving furniture. And he's like okay, sure. Well, I roll. Yet no, thank you, Archer. Yes, you're right. I was thirsty. I also could use some apple juice and a snack.
Saris, you're making it worse. Stop lying.
Yes.
You're making it worse.
Just say thank you and close the door, boo. Yeah. Or just close the door. I don't know. You don't have to take the snacks if I guess. It's rude, but whatever.
Don't be rude.
Take the snacks. Eat them. You need them anyways. Kingfisher wants you to eat. She and this was Zeno, this is one of the moments where she was like, and Onyx, he was like with Onyx, right? So Archer was with Onyx outside the door, and she's like, I have no idea how he got outside the room, but he was. Because when they were there, he was in the room. Okay. Secret tunnel, Kingfisher magic, or is Onyx again more than just a fox and he knew what is about to go down and he somehow escaped? What do we think?
If I hadn't heard about your theory so much, I would say Kingfisher magic.
He just like shoop, sweeped gone. Him out of the room. Yep. Whoosh, there it goes.
I imagine Onyx like in the hallway, like in like a little cloud
just
of smoke,
like drops in, like, yeah.
What the heck?
You know, it's very possible. It, if only that were like a real life thing.
Yeah, like
right.
When your dog's staring at you, and you're like, "Get out!
Get the cat out of here!" We could all use some shadow magic. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. So that kind of wraps up chapter 22. Some good notes and some key points that we have there. I thought it was a good chapter overall. One of my favorites, probably.
Yeah, it's good.
Little Archer. What a good guy. Yeah. I'm here for it. So we go into chapter 23, ticking clock. So the next day, because she was instructed to stay there, so she did, Kingfisher does not come to get her. He just sends a shadow gate. He just like opens up a shadow gate. He doesn't walk through and she's like, hello?
Yeah.
So she walks through it and he's on the other side. He's like leaning against something with his hands in his pockets, like looking down. What a broody man. And then he just walks away. And then I asked, is this the same as sending a car? Like, will you, like, send an Uber to somebody?
Yeah. Like, leave a note on the pillow.
Something, right?
That Shadowgate could have been from anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been. It could have been from anybody. She obviously knew it was Fisher's, or she, like, wouldn't have gotten it. But how rude.
Yeah.
How, and then for her to show up and him just like leave. It's like when someone sends a car for you. No one
sends
a car for
you. My thing is when I'm annoyed.
What?
I don't even want to say it because now people will notice it. My nose flares when I'm annoyed. It just happened.
Okay, I'm gonna zoom in on it on
a
short.
I'm gonna hide behind the mic now. The rest of my podcast will be done like this.
If you get annoyed, just put your face in the mic.
Or if I know it's going to happen, I'll just
boop.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, it just happened because I think that's annoying.
It is annoying. I don't know if I would have walked through it. I probably would have sat back down. Come get me, babe.
I would have walked through it and then been like, what if somebody else said that?
What if I would have been kidnapped?
That's right.
It's not safe. Don't talk to strangers. Don't walk through random portals. But honestly, if a portal showed up, I'd probably walk through it.
True.
Just saying. At least the first time. I don't have to go through all the portals. Just one.
True.
I just got to get there. But she did not get sick this time. And I'm real proud of her.
Yeah.
Good job, Saris.
She's growing.
She's growing. She's getting tougher.
Yeah.
And then she brings up the tattoos. And she's like, hello, this bird is literally on my chest. And he's like, don't worry. It'll fade. Probably.
That's a lie.
It's a lie. He knows it's a lie. And she's like, take them back. And he's like, it doesn't work like that. She's super pissed. And he's like, you got to get over it. Like, it's there. Again, here's a perfect moment to be like, this is for a mating bond. The gods decided that we are mates. Hello. Nope, doesn't tell her. It's just like, it's fine. I can just,
you know,
whatever.
How I feel about this.
I know. I know. Like, another moment. I'm like, can you just tell her? Can you give her a little hint? Like, this is, or be like, this is a thing that happens when sometimes when people have sex, it shows up. You know what I mean? Like, but instead he's like, get over it. You now have a tattoo. Congratulations. I just wish he would have given her like a little crumb or something. He didn't give her anything.
She would have just asked more questions. Why sometimes? I mean,
probably, but he doesn't answer them anyways.
Fair.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this next part broke me. It was so sad. So he's walking. She's following him, right? And she's like, where are you taking me? He's like, we're going to the camp healer. Basically so she can take like a tonic for pregnancy, like a contraceptive. And she informs him that she can't have children because she was cleansed as a child. And he's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? And she's like, they cleanse 70% of the girls in the third ward. It's the poorest ward. So they made a law that they should not procreate, right, to be able to survive, I guess. So they tag them on the back of their ear with a tattoo, which she has that tattoo on her ear. And they fully sterilize them. He knows that she is his mate. Can you imagine the feeling that he felt realizing that his mate was sterilized and can never have children with him? The fact that he was able to keep his composure in any way, shape, or form is truly remarkable. She has no clue what's going on. She's like, why are you so mad?
Yeah. I love how his reaction is written, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell, like, how shook, how much he was affected. You can, like, you can tell it, like, he's angry, he's upset, he's grieving that for her. For both of them.
Yeah, I'm sure his heart was also very broken in that moment.
Yeah, I thought that was really powerful. In reading it. And obviously, like, the fact that she did go through this as a child is so heavy in and of itself, but I think it just adds an extra layer into how much he is affected. But it's not like he stands there and is like, what do you, like, has this huge reaction.
Yeah, no,
but you can
nothing.
Still feel it
in
the reaction.
And he immediately writes it off and he's like, go to the forge and get to work. Basically, like, hey, I can't be near you right now because I'm going to freak out. Like,
right.
So he immediately makes her exit so that way he doesn't show her what he's truly feeling inside.
Yeah.
So she goes to the forge and it needs to find the Quicksilver once again because he hid it again. She hears a faint calling to the east, literally up the side of a mountain. So she has to climb this freaking mountain, takes her forever, and she finds Carrion in a cave reading a book in front of a fire. So cute. So we know that before Carrion got to the mountain, Kingfisher woke him up, called him a waste of carbon, and made him sit in the cave with the Quicksilver. He notes that the box that is holding the Quicksilver, he's like, I was going to open the box, but it made my hand tingle. So he couldn't open it, which I thought was really interesting that it was like, the Quicksilver was like, no, don't even look at me.
Get out.
No, because we know it knows.
Yeah.
Because he's like, what's in the box? They're like, absolutely not. And then I don't know if this part of it is Easter eggs or like quoting to like the second book at all. So in the book, he's reading the Yvelian Fae. He says the Yvelian Fae are the youngest Fae houses because two brothers got into a dispute and split off to make their own courts. So I thought that was interesting. So we do learn a little bit more about that. Mm-hmm. And she says, or like Carrion notes, in he's like in the front of the book that he's reading, it's called Fae Creatures and the Galarian Mountains. And he say it states, never forget, monsters thrive best in the dark. Commit all you read here to memory. Prepare for war. This quote is literally inside the book itself. Yeah. Like before you, like right after the map.
Right.
Like it's a huge thing. And we know that Carrion's grandmother took this book very seriously because if the Galarian Fae ever came around, he needed to know how to best them. These are not the Yvelian Fae. These are different Fae. And we don't meet any Galarian Fae in this book. I see foreshadowing here. I think we'll meet them in Brimstone. I think there will be a war with the other Fae.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
But the first time I read this, I was like, okay. That's cool. He's reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but yeah. I really thought more about his grandma because, like, and she, Sarah calls him out for, like, being so nonchalant about things. She's like, we just learned about the Fae and you're fine. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
His excuse to Sarah is that his grandmother told him all about it as a child, which is an excuse, yes, but it's also the truth. Like, he did learn about this from maybe her or maybe somebody else, like, before he got stuck in that realm. I think that that is truly his grandmother. It could not be his grandma, mm-hmm. but I think that it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just someone else who got stuck with him that was older than him.
There's a fourth wing thing that I want to say here, but I can't.
You can say it. I spoiled many things for you.
No.
So if you want to, it's okay.
I'll keep it to myself for now. Okay. When we one day get to fourth wing, I'll come back to this.
Okay, one day. I'm almost done with Trial of the Sun Queen. I'm going to start fourth wing, guys. I'm so sorry. I know. Bad book reader. Sorry.
I feel like it's like second to ACOTAR when people talk about.
I know. But then I wanted to read The One of Glass, and then I wanted to get to Crescent City, and then I wanted to do Lightlark, and then I did Quicksilver. So like
there's
a lot
out there.
There's so many options, right? Yeah. And I just have to have it in the right time. And then Onyx Storm was coming out, like, and I hadn't even started. So I was like, I'm going to let it all just be for a minute and then read it all at once. So
we'll get there.
As soon as it's done, I promise I will start it. I will text you. I will give it a couple weeks. I'll have it done.
We'll get there.
I'll have it done. Okay. It does also note in this that Gracia Swift, who was Carrion's grandmother, it was an engineer in the third who designed the buildings. I thought that was cool. We got to know what her job was.
Yeah.
Instead of just like this little old lady that like sits in a cottage.
Because a lot of books don't give the grandmas that.
Yeah, they don't give them anything.
They're just grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I agree.
But he was like, she made me memorize all this information as a mm-hmm. child. And also she's like an engineer in the third, which is like a big deal. She's like a pretty important person in the third.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Carrion brings his grandma back. Next book.
Yeah, but so, what if we lose her?
We might. Callie said, get ready to have your hearts broken in the next book. So somebody's going to die. I don't know who it's going to be. I have my bets. I hope it's someone I don't care about, but I'm sure it will be someone that I do care about. So they go down the mountain. They go to the forge together, and she fails at three more experiments, making them super sick. So like one that they do, they like smoke is up and they get super sick and they throw up. Side question. Do we think Carrion has his fae senses?
Yes.
Or are they dormant because he's in a human form? Mm-hmm. Sarah smelled like Kingfisher and it never stated that she was in front of the fire to burn it off. Unless she stood close enough to the fire in the cave. But like Carrion doesn't even flinch. Does he care? Does he know and just can't say anything?
I think he knows.
Because he makes that joke, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
later on.
Mm-hmm.
About, like, you need to get laid, right? So he, like, when eventually Kingfisher shows up and is an asshole, he's like, you're extra fucking miserable today. You should really just get laid. Might help improve your mood. Tell him, sunshine. Yeah, right? So, like, do you think it's because he knew?
I think so.
Damn. I don't know. You're probably right.
I just assumed. I didn't even think about it.
It doesn't ever tell us. So there's a lot of times this book where I wonder. I was like, do you have your fae senses? Like, can he smell things? Does he know things? My guess is that he does, because when they're at dinner together, him and Ren both make that face.
But if he did, he would have known that he smelled like Ceres, right?
Right. And then he was like, I don't know why they wanted me to take a bath. That's so weird. Maybe he did know all along, right? But then why would him and Carrie and, or him and Ren both make the face at the same time at dinner?
Yeah, I always assumed he knew. Like he did.
Yeah. Dude's a good actor.
I mean, that, so again, that is his strength.
Right. Exactly. You're right. You're totally right. He probably knows. So they stop to have a lunch break, and Kingfisher interrupts their lunch break and is covered in blood, which is red and not black this time. So we know it's not from a feeder. It's from something else. And he claimed it's from training when it was sparring for with Renfis. And we know that it was like a pretty rough training session that they had. Jealous Kingfisher tells Carrie to go find something else to do with his time other than hang out with Ceres. God forbid a girl has a friend. Like, I get that you're jealous. Sit down. He's not, they have separate plates. They're fine. And Ceres is defending him because she needs, this is the only person that she knows, really.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like something that's like close to home. And so Kingfisher uses his smoke to go all the way around Ceres and hit Carrie in the chest, making his snack go everywhere. What a broody, broody boy.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Which again, which is where we go into the line where Carrie is like, you're extra fucking miserable today. You should really get laid. Might help improve your mood. Tell him, sunshine. And then the iconic line is said, do not call her sunshine. And he's like, why not? Because she is moonlight, the mist that shrouds the mountains, the bite of electricity in the air before a storm, the smoke that rolls across the battlefield before a killing starts. You have no idea what she is, what she could be. You should call her Majesty. Mic fucking drop. Mic drop.
I think Carrion could smell it. And I think this is probably the moment where he's like, oh, this is more than a one night thing. This is more than I ever had with Ceres.
Yes. Yes. I think he felt something else in that moment other than confidence. I don't know if it was fear or if it was just realization or confusion, but he felt something changed in his persona. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That line.
It's good.
It was such a good line.
Again, this chapter and the last, you realize how much he already feels for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like, don't call her sunshine. She is not.
Because if he didn't have, if it wasn't that deep, he would have just said, don't call her sunshine. There would be no quote after that.
Exactly. He'd be like, because I said so, because you're an idiot. Like, whatever right. He decided to say in the moment. But, you know, he like took the moment
right.
to say, like, this is what she is. She is more than that. And you need to appreciate it and acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah.
And that wraps up that chapter with one of the best lines in the book.
Yeah.
Which is fabulous.
Yeah. It's good.
Woo! Yay. I love it. Chapters 21 through 23.
I love it.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
What a good episode. Can't get enough of the Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.